chapter 1. We have come to verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Today is our third look at 2 Peter. And as you're turning there to chapter 1, verse 12, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, take a look at this clip and think about life as it goes by. Do you ever get the feel like sometimes things just don't work out the way that you thought they would? Oh man, life takes a completely different turn on you. You ever go through that? In Peter's second letter, Peter is talking about heaven. He's sharing about heaven and the hope that we have in Jesus. What happens after our time here on earth is done. And Peter's also, though, he's sharing about life right here in the present. As we go hurtling along in this trajectory of our lives with everything that can grab us and take us in directions that we don't want to go, what can we stay focused on that'll keep us on track with God's purposes for our lives? What will give real purpose and meaning to our lives? Look with me at verse 12. Therefore, thank you, which is... I'm going to put that on a CD one of these days, too. Take that on the road. That's great. You guys are awesome. That's good. Therefore, okay, which is everything that we've been looking at for the last two Sundays. Peter writing about God's promises to us and our need to be diligent in our relationship with God. Okay? Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present in you. Okay, let's pause there. Notice that Peter's purpose is to remind his readers of what they already know. Okay, they already know this. In fact, say this with me, they know this. All right, say that together. They know this. So the wheels are turning in Peter's readers, in their minds, the wheels are turning. You know, Peter's repeating himself. He must be having some kind of a senior moment here. We've heard this before. Just humor the guy, all right? The Revised Standard Version, the translation of Peter's words, puts it this way. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things. There is purpose here, not senility. These things has to do with the life that we have in Jesus. The Almighty God of creation desires to have an intimate, personal relationship with each one of us in which He, God, In which He, God, supplies all that we need to live in that relationship. The very ability and divine power necessary to live life as God has designed life to be lived. Including the very basis of that life, which is the salvation that's offered to us in Jesus Christ. And because of all that God has given to us, then we need to be diligent to put effort into that relationship. Practically, we need to work out, we need to passionately pursue moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Remember those seven qualities from last Sunday? And so Peter is up front with his readers. You know these things. And I know you know these things. But I'm going to remind you anyway, because you need to be reminded. If we've been in church, around church for any number of years, you know, we ought to have pretty much set in our minds the basics. We're sinners. Jesus, God, coming as a baby, living in Palestine, doing miracles, dying on a cross, the resurrection. We need to trust in Him as our Savior, to read our Bibles, pray a lot, and go to church on Sunday and Sunday school. That's just the basic stuff that we know. And sometimes we get added to that different things depending on what franchise of the church we go to. Okay, are we together on that? Right? In some congregations, it's okay to raise your hands and say, Amen! In other churches, it's not. Okay? We don't smoke or drink or play cards or use those kind of words or listen to that kind of music. We learn how to talk Christianese. We wear ties and ankle-length dresses. Well, the men wear the ties, the women wear the... You got that. Okay. So people, after a while, we become kind of like connoisseurs of the church experience. Once we get the basics down and the Christian culture that we're supposed to be a part of so that we know how to be good Christians, we start evaluating things based on what pleases us. How good was the worship team? Did the pastor keep us awake this Sunday? Is there stuff for the kids? And people start plugging into different congregations based on what works for them. And so it's kind of easy to start drifting through the Christian life, existing as a Christian, knowing all the right stuff, doing all the right things, focused on what makes us feel comfortable about our Christian experience faith journey. But just knowing stuff isn't important. Right? All the stuff that we add to that isn't what's important. And here's a shocker. In the Christian life, we're not the most important thing. God is. Really knowing Jesus at the gut level, that's what's important. Being totally sold out to Him deep down inside, that's what's important. Trusting Him with our lives. Trusting Him as our Savior. All that stuff that Peter has been writing about here in chapter 1. And so repetition is what? Key to learning. Thank you. And that's what we need. That's why we need a reminder. Because we might get off track. We might forget the essential truth of what we know. And we need to keep relearning the truth, coming back to it to get refocused on what we know, but what it means to know, really know, Jesus and to pursue Him in life. And so Peter writes, I know you know this, but I'm going to remind you anyway because you need to stay on track with God. Going on, verse 13. I consider it right. Okay, it's the right thing to do. As long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of a reminder. And the word to stir up, in the Greek, it's this word digairo, which has the idea of taking someone who's asleep and coming over with this bucket of ice-cold water and just dumping it on them. All right? That's stirring them up. It's rousing them. It's waking them up. Wake up! Turn to the person next to you and just tell them that. Wake up! Just tell them that. And if they're asleep, give them an extra little nudge. Just kind of, you know, wake them up, all right? Living life with the living God, it isn't about us. It's about being passionately sold out to God. And so I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Okay, pause there. Notice that Peter's time is short. All right, say that with me. Peter's time is short. In John chapter 21, verses 18 and 19, we read that Jesus told Peter the circumstances of Peter's death. Jesus told Peter that after a season of ministry and maturing, when Peter was going to be older, that he would be led against his wishes to his death. A death that would be as a result of following in obedience to Jesus. Follow me in this and you're going to die. So Peter followed Jesus. Imagine that. See, the Christian life, it's not about us. In 64 AD, Peter, along with the Apostle Paul, Peter's in Rome. 31 years have gone by since Jesus told Peter the circumstances of Peter's death. Peter is now in his 60s. He's had a long ministry. He's matured. And he and Paul are in obedience. They're there in obedience to Jesus. They're sharing the gospel with others there in Rome. 64 AD is also important because that was the year that Nero set Rome on fire and blamed the Christians. Ordered hundreds of Christians to be killed by various cruel means. Nero hates these Christians, and he hates Peter, and he hates Paul. And through their ministry, in fact, even some of Nero's own household have come to know Jesus as their Savior. So according to tradition, About this time, there was this magician in Rome, and the guy's name was Simon Magus, who pretended that he could fly through the air and he could do all kinds of things that no one else can do. And so one day when Simon Magus was performing in front of this large crowd, and Peter and Paul were in that crowd. And apparently Peter and Paul prayed that God would confuse this magician and end his abilities. And when they prayed, Simon Magus, in whatever he was doing to convince people that he could fly, Simon Magus, he fell and he broke his legs. Nero liked Simon Magus, so he had Peter and Paul thrown into prison for 9 months. And during that time, in fact, while they were in prison, Peter and Paul, they kept on sharing the gospel with others. And during that time, two of the captains of the guard and 47 others came to trust in Jesus as their Savior. Nero had Peter brought out for execution. He scourged him, which was absolutely cruel torture, and then he had him crucified. And at Peter's request, Peter was crucified upside down, in respect for his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all this came about exactly as, and in the timing, in the way and in the timing that Jesus had shared with Peter some 31 years earlier. So as Peter is writing this letter, 2 Peter, it's probably around 65, 66 A.D. So he's writing from a Roman jail cell not too many days removed from his crucifixion. You can see it coming. You know, have you ever wondered what you would do differently, if you would do some things differently, if you knew when and where you would die? I mean, would you, like, well, buy an insurance policy, maybe? You know, someone's person said, well, if I knew where and when I would die, I wouldn't go there. I mean, if you knew exactly, like Tuesday, 4:36 p.m., you were going to die, would you do anything different between now and then? You know, buy the life insurance policy, cash in all your life savings and do something absolutely worthless, you know, splurge. The word that Peter uses here for an earthly dwelling is skenoma, which literally is a tent. Okay, think nomadic people wandering around in the wilderness. We pitch our skenoma, our tent, and we dwell there for a while, and then we move on. Very temporary. And the importance of a tent is not the tent, it's what? It's who it shelters inside, in this case, Peter. So Peter's temporary shelter is going to be laid aside, and he's going to move on. And the time for that moving on is coming very quickly. He knows it. But it's not a time to be feared or anticipated with dread, or terror of the unknown, or trying to reclaim some sort of lost life. A lot of people fear death. Have you noticed that? The whole moving on thing is happening exactly the way Jesus said it would happen. So do you see the confidence that Peter has here? You see that? Jesus said it would be like this. And so I'm moving on. I'm moving up. I'm going to move in with Jesus. And there's an urgency in Peter's tone. There's a passionate focus. Peter, knowing when and how he would die, the time is short. He just keeps on doing what Jesus had called him to do. He's preaching the gospel. He's bringing people to Jesus and helping them to grow up in that relationship. He's keeping reminding them of what's essential. Keep them focused on what it means to live life, this life, with the living God. How do you live the life of faith? Going on, verse 15. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So notice this. Notice Peter's diligence. Say that with me. Peter's diligence. Okay, watch this, we hope, and think about diligence. Okay, watch this and think about diligence. Makes the U.S. Postal Service look really good, doesn't it? Yeah. How long do you think those guys are going to stay in business? Right. Diligence. Diligence is not just kind of doing whatever it takes to get by, is it? Diligence is the Greek verb spudo, which has the idea of a driving desire. It's a passionate urge, an eating, sleeping, and breathing, sacrificing everything to make sure that this happens. doing whatever it takes. And the purpose of Peter's diligence is so that we get these things. What things? The gut level reality of what it means to live life sold out to the living God. To get these things so into our minds, hearts, and souls at the core of who we are, so that even after Peter is living with Jesus and life jerks us around, and our knee-jerk reaction is going to be coming out of the core of who we are to stay on track with God. To keep on going with God. Choosing to pursue Him and to live by faith in Him. In Peter's life and death, there is an example for us. As we're hurling down the trajectory of our lives, there's an example for us here of what gives real purpose and meaning to our lives. There are two certainties in life, right? Death and what? Taxes, right? Someone said maybe death and taxes are inevitable, but death doesn't get worse every time Congress meets. Bad joke. Unless Jesus comes back pretty soon, man, we're all going to die. Time for each of us. Time is passing. And we may not know when we're going to die, but our departure time is closer now than it was when we got up this morning. And in the diligence that Peter has for reminding, the passion of how Peter faces death and what Peter lived for even as he's facing death and all that, there's an example for us of what gives purpose and meaning to life. In reality, and all that there's and all that, there's a challenge for us. See, do you hear that? Okay, here's the challenge. What are we living for? Say that with me. What are we living for? Here's a challenge. Take a look at another video. Isn't that an interesting question? Challenging, isn't it? What are you living for? You know, in the past 20 years or so, I've done probably about 70 plus funerals. And I've been with a lot of families, including my own, a lot of families that are going through some very difficult times. And it is it's possible to get a pretty good idea as you're talking with families. By the way, people face death. It's possible to get a pretty good idea of how they've lived their lives. People who've lived in futility, they face death with fear. They're either trying to hang on to life by some means, or they're grudgingly, they resign themselves to the inevitable. They're angry and bitter. They're often complaining about all their aches and pains, or how come they have to live in this place, how life has jerked them around. Death is the ultimate pull in a direction that they absolutely do not want to go. 10 years ago, this month, as a matter of fact, I did the funeral service for a lady whose approach to death stood out in my mind with the same kind of challenge that Peter's words have here for us. When I saw Amelia for her the last time, it was shortly after that I saw her that she slipped into a coma and she passed away. She died. She knew her time was short. We went, saw her, visited her in the hospital. When I visited Amelia, it was like talking with somebody who was about to go on a long journey. She was going away, and she knew that we wouldn't see each other for a long time. And so she asked about family, how are the kids. She talked about my great-grandmother that she knew back in Egypt. And she was at peace. Like a great matriarch, she was pronouncing blessings on her family. She was attending the last-minute details with her family. She was concerned about their relationship with Jesus. There was no fear. There was no uncertainty. She said that she was ready to go. She was tired of waiting. We try to hang on to people. She was ready to go. And this is the way she faced death. But it was the way she faced life. There was a purpose, there was a certainty, and she knew her Lord. She knew where she was going, and the God that she had trusted and obeyed all of her life, who had given significance and purpose to her life, is the same God that she was going to go be with in death. So time is short. What are you living for? What are we living for? Are we diligent? Are we passionate to make certain that those around us know Jesus? I mean, really know Him? So that when we're gone, they'll remember, they'll remain solid in their faith, diligent to remind others of what it means to live life with the living God. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you for this example of Peter. So many of us, we come to death and we treat it like an unknown, like something to be feared or afraid of. But really, as we live life with you, we realize that death is just a laying aside of a tent, and it's going to be with you face to face. And the more we live life with you here, the more we long for that. Life pulls us in a tremendous number of different directions. Choices we make, things that happen to us. How do we stay on track with you? Father, may we have in our hearts, deep as to where we are, the core of who we are, the reality of where we're going. So that rather than being so afraid of that, and allowing the things of this life to jerk us around, we might stay focused on the purpose, the meaning, the significance that you give to our lives, that we might be concerned of those that are around us, that they may know the hope and the life that we have in Jesus Christ. Father, may we encourage each other to stay focused on who you are. May we stay focused on being totally sold out to you and to encourage each other to stay focused and totally sold out to you. May we be diligent to remind each other. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.